This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Senator Jim Webb's new book is A Time to Fight, Reclaiming a Fair and Just America. The celebrated junior senator from Virginia delivers a hard-hitting, impassioned, and deeply personal political manifesto in which he tackles the most thorny foreign and domestic issues facing America today and shares his uncompromising vision for reorienting our government's priorities on behalf of the people instead of established interests. I am honored to welcome to the program U.S. Senator Jim Webb of Virginia. Good afternoon, sir.
Just one moment, Coy. Oh. Sorry about that. We have a little technical glitch. We'll get him on the line.
Oh, well, we'll just wait for him then. We're looking forward to talking to him. Hey, this is Jim Webb's hold music.
Hello?
Jim Webb.
Hey.
How are you, Senator?
I'm okay. Sorry I'm late.
No, no problem at all. No problem at all. We know you're busy and we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
Wanted to congratulate you on the new book. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much.
So tell us, what is the message of the book?
Well, you know, it's pretty much on the issues that we've been trying to push here. And there are a lot of more personal stories that I tell in there that I think the people who have followed our campaign won't be surprised about the issues. Some of the personal stuff about what informs my views or first time I've written about them.
Yeah, you write in here in this book, and it is a very personal book. On one side, and on the other side, it's really a lot about public policy and what we should be doing as a nation. As far as the war in Iraq, what should we be doing that we're not doing, you think?
Well, I think we should be ending it. I had an interview yesterday with an individual who's writing a book, and he said this might be the longest war in our history. And my comment to him was, really, it's not been a war. It's not been a war since 2003. It's been an occupation, and it's an occupation as a result of some pretty unfortunate strategic errors. We came out of 9/11 realizing that we had to really focus on this issue of international terrorism, and it got vectored into the invasion of Iraq. The international terrorist entity wasn't in Iraq when we got there. It came after we got there, and pretty much has remained mobile while we got bogged down in the streets and the cities of Iraq. So we need to get the right kind of leadership that will, on the one hand, focus on the international terrorism issue, and the other, time for us to get out of the middle of this occupation. I think that can be done without in any way damaging what we want to do in the rest of the world.
We're talking with U.S. Senator Jim Webb of Virginia. His new book is A Time to Fight, Reclaiming a Fair and Just America. Of course, we have to ask you about the recent news. You made headlines when you announced that you did not want to be considered or wanted to be taken off the short list for the Barack Obama campaign as a possible choice for vice president. Can you share some of the some of those conversations that you may have had behind the scenes, some of the thoughts that went into that decision?
Well, you know, I think that private conversations should remain private. I'm going to do everything I can to help Barack Obama become the next president, but I never had put my name in. And, you know, I ran for the United States Senate. We got a really strong staff together to work on the issues that I care about. A lot of them are in this book. And I just decided that it was time for me to clarify that. I've been asked about it for several months. Every time someone asked me about the vice presidency, I said I really was not interested in it. And with the book being published and making the bestseller lists, and with the GI Bill coming, you know, come to fruition, I think the intensity got pretty high, and I just thought it was better to really clarify that I like where I am in the United States Senate. We're doing good things, and I need to stay here.
You mentioned the GI Bill. Again, I want to congratulate you on your work on that. You and I are both on the same page that this is something that was long overdue for men and women in uniform. It was just the right thing to do as far as I'm concerned. What do you think? They had been trying to get that passed in one form or another for many years. What do you think was the key to your success and your team that you put together to make that happen?
Well, actually, they weren't trying to pass it. And that was one of my frustrations, that there hadn't been a GI Bill introduced that was equal to the service of people who have been carrying the nation's load since 9/11. There just wasn't anything here. And I started talking about it before I even decided to run for the Senate. And I wrote this bill along with legislative counsel before I was sworn in as a senator. I spent about a month between the election and getting sworn in, sitting down and writing this bill. And the idea was, let's give these people who've been serving since 9/11 the same educational opportunities as those who came back from World War II. And it took a tremendous amount of energy coming really out of our staff here to get this thing done. But we worked across party lines. We tried to take politics out of it. We had the administration opposing us, which surprised me. But we ended up with 58 co-sponsors here in the Senate, including John Warner, who was a big help to us, and more than 300 sponsors in the House of Representatives. It took about 16, 17 months, and I think we showed how if you really put energy into something up here and you work across party lines and you appeal to people's desire to get something done, you can get something done. And it's I feel just tremendous about this. It's not an extension of educational benefits. It's a new program. It's the first new GI Bill since Vietnam. And I just think it's a great thing for those who've been serving.
Absolutely. We're talking with U.S. Senator Jim Webb of Virginia. And folks, his new book, with I strongly encourage you to get a copy of it, is A Time to Fight, best-selling book, Time to Fight, Reclaiming a Fair and Just America. I've got to ask you about a hearing you had recently regarding the nation's drug policy. And at this this hearing, you said, quote, well, you were talking in your opening statement that America is 5% of the world's population, but now has 20% of the world's prison population. And you said either we have the most evil people in the world here in America, or we're doing something wrong with the way we handle our criminal justice system. Tell us your thinking on this. And you have some staff that you're now devoting staff time to really looking very in a very comprehensive way at our nation's drug policy vis-a-vis, you know, the people we're locking up and the growing prison population here in America. Share some of these thoughts with us for folks who may not have known that you're working on this.
Yeah, and actually the statistic is we have 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's known prison population. It's an incredible statistic. And really, on the one hand, we want to go after violent crime. We want to go after organized crime. We want to be able to focus on the, you know, on the types of crimes that truly threaten us as a society. But on the other hand, we're locking up people that aren't being locked up in other countries. And politicians in this country are afraid to talk about it because they're so afraid you're going to get stamped as being soft on crime. But I think the statistics speak for themselves. We got 2.38 million people in jail in the United States of America, and another 5 million of them involved in the criminal justice system one way or the other. I spent a good bit of time writing about this in this book. And by the way, I write my own books, which is not always the case up here. And, you know, we have to be able to get policies that are fair. You know, we're taking care of violent crime and these other things, but we got to get a lot more sensible about who we're locking up in this country. You affect people's lives in a dramatic way. In most cases, they'll never be able to turn around when you put them in jail. We ought to have good reasons before we put people in jail.
Would you recommend some type of decriminalization when it comes to things like marijuana? Would that be one step?
You know, I started on this. I've held two hearings up here. I've chaired them myself on the incarceration rates and on drug policy. We're going to have a broader forum on this in a month or so, probably at George Mason University. We might do it in Richmond, but we need to get sensible about this. And I think we're locking way too many people up for simple possession. And for nonviolent drug activities, when we've got to start realizing that a lot of drug activity is because of dependence. It's not because of overt criminal behavior. You know, when you look at a guy like Daryl Strawberry, who is just a fantastic professional athlete, you know, being marched to jail in an orange prison suit, you got to wonder about how we're handling this. You don't lock people up for being alcoholics, and we shouldn't be locking people up who are simply drug dependent. There are better ways to get at these problems.
We're honored to have U.S. Senator Jim Webb of Virginia on our program. His new book is A Time to Fight. I've got to ask you about the economy. It seems like every day now we're learning about banks failing and banks on a watch list, and now they're looking at Wachovia, they're looking at Countrywide. And it's getting pretty alarming here. Your thoughts on what's going on?
It is. And I think when you look at the policies that have been in place, our trade policies on the one hand, and the policies that have burned up so many hundreds of billions of dollars in this war in Iraq, a lot of the chickens are coming home to roost here. And I made a speech on the Senate floor after the policy was announced that we're going to try to do something about Fannie Mae and the other Freddie Mac, but also the Bank in California and the situation and that we dealt with Bear Stearns earlier. I tried to talk about all three of them and say we need some consistency here. On the one hand, we have to protect people in this home mortgage crisis. I think we don't want to have a larger scale of foreclosures. There are ways we can deal with that, and we want to protect people who've been working in these bank systems for years, and who have retirement at risk, and in some cases stocks at risk. But on the other hand, we've got to be very careful where the United States government gets directly involved in the markets, and so this is a fine needle that needs to be threaded in terms of how we look at this. But one of the things that I have said is, I inserted into the record a column that was written by Paul Krugman of the New York Times the other day, where he basically says, you know, when times are good, a small group of people have been benefiting. The corporate executives and other large-scale investors, and when times go bad, they turn around to the American taxpayer and expect them to be to bail them out. I think the way Paul Krugman said it was, profit is private and loss becomes kind of a public obligation, socialized. And that can't be right. You can't have somebody out there making $50,000 a year driving a truck who doesn't own stock have to turn around out of their tax dollars and bail out people who've been making millions of dollars. So there's a big fairness issue in here in terms of how we address this.
U.S. Senator Jim Webb, final question for you, because I know you got to go. I know you're busy. These gas prices, of course, they're now over $4 a gallon. They're talking about going to $6 or even $10 or more. And we hear the Republicans saying, oh, well, now we need to get into offshore drilling. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm in favor of exploring what we have available. With the right sort of precautions, I introduced a bill along with Senator Warner that basically said, let's take a look at what's out there 50 miles off the coast with the better technology that we have and the better safeguards that we have. We ought to be putting that into the formula along with the precondition that the governor of a state has to also approve if something is found and we move forward. We need to look at that in terms of an overall comprehensive energy policy, which we don't have right now in this country. At the same time, I do believe it is right to be looking at this whole issue of speculation in the oil market. If you go back to late 2000, when they really started allowing speculators into the oil markets, you'll see that the percentage of investments in the oil markets that are driven by speculation has gone off the charts. They're now about 70% of the the market. And so you have a situation where people who aren't producing oil have been throwing money in a way that we haven't seen before, and that's been driving the prices up. They had testimony in the House of Representatives a couple of months ago where people who are experts on the market, some of them oil company executives, were saying that the cost of a barrel of oil should be about $55 to $60 right now. Instead of, it's gone up all the way to $147. I think it's gone down a little bit now. But we need to get speculation out of the market. That's one thing that, or we need to get this undue amount of speculation out of the market. And it can be done by putting these markets back into the regulated market areas where they were before 2000. One of the great ironic headlines of the year was on Drudge about 2 years ago. About 2 days ago, and it said oil plunges below $140 a barrel.
Right.
I read that and I went, you know, it was $24 a barrel when the Congress voted to go into Iraq. $24 a barrel. And now we're saying that it's plunged down into the 130s. We need to get speculation out of it. We need a comprehensive energy policy, and we need to bring some measure of stability back into the Iraq area, and we can do a lot better.
U.S. Senator Jim Webb of Virginia, his new book is A Time to Fight, Reclaiming a Fair and Just America. Sir, thank you so much for your time. I know you're busy. Thank you for your service to our nation and
good
to the Commonwealth.
With you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.